Let's read from God's Word. God is just so good to us. And we're talking about the Spirit. We talked about this morning water, wind, and fire. Jesus said when the Spirit come, He'd be like water. He said when He come, He'd be like fire. He said when He come, He'd be like wind. But He said something else about the Spirit. He said He would bring a new birth into our life. And when the Spirit come, we would be born again. And it's a birth of the Spirit. And let's read from God's Word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. Now, we're talking about a new birth. We're talking about a new birth that comes from the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit with a capital S. So we're talking about Holy Spirit, talking about Holy Ghost. Now, I have to tell you something. When we have a new birth, sadly, the flesh is not born again. This is not what's born again. You say, well, you're born again. Yes, I'm born again, but the Spirit, my spirit is born again. My flesh is not born again. My flesh is the same old flesh that I always had, unfortunately. Now, Paul said, we're waiting in Romans chapter 8, and by the way, it might be nice if I just read from Romans chapter 8 just a moment, verses 19 through 23, and see what he has to say about it. Let's start reading in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He's looking forward to something coming in the future. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's this part of us, the creature. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation, that is the unveiling or the presentation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. For not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Why do we groan? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, you see Paul saying, we've had a birth of the Spirit, but not of the flesh. The birth is the man inside of us. Now, I have to tell you something. I'm not talking about getting religion, shaking the preacher's hand, putting your name on the church book. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a real spiritual birth. I'm talking about a real experience with God that changes your life. Now, when you have that experience with God that is life-changing, earth-shattering, you're in for the fight of your lifetime. And you say, why? Well, because you're two people walking around. The spirit, your spirit that's in you, is brand new. He's been born again. And by the way, he's never sinned and never will. The man Christ Jesus, born and living within you, will never sin. Now, the problem is, you still got it. You still got this old flesh. That's why Paul says that he has a big fight going on. He spent the whole 7th chapter of Romans, just before those verses, talking about the fight that's going on in his life. He said, what I want to do, I don't do. When I want to do good, evil is present. And he goes on and on and talks about how he wants to do good, but he winds up doing something bad. He don't want to do something bad, but he winds up doing it anyway. And finally, he just fairly screams it out. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? I'm glad he didn't stop there, because the next verse says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you know what he's talking about? If you think crucifixion's bad, and it is bad, I can't say enough bad things about crucifixion, but they had another form of punishment that was horrible and gruesome. He's talking about his spirit is attached to a dead body. Now, what happened in Roman times? They would come out and have a battle, and here are bodies strewn all over the battlefield. Human, deceased people they've killed. Now, over here, they have prisoners that they've captured. Their punishment is they take these dead bodies and they tie them leg for leg, chest to chest, face to face, and arm to arm with a living man. You talk about a horrible situation. This living man is now walking around with a decomposing corpse attached to his living body. Now, what would happen is that decomposing body would decompose, would infect the living person and cause that person to decompose and to die. And it would kill him because of the creature that was attached to him. This is what Paul said. He said, my spirit has been born again. My spirit has been set free. But it's attached to this dead corpse that I've got here, and it's decaying and decomposing, and it has problems, and so there's a fight of the lifetime on. You, and don't say you don't, because I'm going to put you down, you have to fight your flesh. Now, right away somebody's going to say, well, I don't lust. Well, there's a whole lot more things that goes on with the flesh than lust. There is the lust of the flesh, but I can tell you, we have character flaws that we're born with, some that we inherited from our families. Maybe we're high-tempered. Maybe we're stubborn as all get out. Maybe lots of things that go on, weaknesses and imperfections that are in our flesh. Now, here's the problem. The spirit within us is brand new. So he has a fight going on with the flesh. When we talk about a birth of the spirit, we're not talking about a birth of the flesh. The flesh has not been born again. The flesh is the same old flesh. And Paul calls it the old man. The flesh is the same old one. So we have this conflict going on. Now, some people will read this, and if you disagree with me, I'm not going to be mad at you or with you. But some people read this and see where it says we're born of the water and of the Spirit, and right away they're going to see baptism. They're going to say we're born of the water in baptism. Baptism is not a birth. Baptism is a burial. Baptism is associated with death. We're burying the old man. The resurrection of the new man is the Spirit, not the flesh. So when he talks about we're born of the water and of the Spirit, he's talking about our physical birth. We were all, well, there's one thing we all, some things we all have in common, and one of the things is we were all born and we all got here the same way. We came through a physical birth, and it's always a watery birth, isn't it, girls? It's always a watery birth. And we were born of water. We were carried in our mother's womb in water. And we were born, it was a watery birth. Because we're born of the water, that's the one of the first things that happened. The commonest expression in the world. My water broke. It's the commonest expression. We're born of the water. We're born of physical birth. Now, but the problem is, see, if he'd been talking about baptism, he wouldn't have said that. But what he said is, that's not enough. You must, let's say that word, must be born again. You cannot, say that word, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. Now, you say, what authority are you quoting? Jesus Christ. He's the one that said those things. He's the one that came up with that. So you cannot go to heaven. Now, see, this is strange to Nicodemus. Because he thinks he's had the best birth possible on earth. He has been born of the seed of Abraham. He has been born of the promises of Isaac. He has been born of the children of Israel. He has been born of one of the tribes of God's people. He has the birthright. He has the promises. He has all of these things. So his whole thing about being saved is the fact that he's depending on his physical birth. He was born of the water. He was born a Jew. He doesn't think any Jew needs a new birth. If Christ had said the Romans need to be born again, he might could have swallowed that. If Christ had said the Greeks need to be born again, he might have swallowed that. He might even went along if he'd have said the Samaritans need to be born again. They were half Jewish, but they were tainted with the Gentiles. He might have gone along with that. But the wonderful thing is, he can't see any need for Nicodemus to be born again. Why should I be born again? And of course, he sees it completely fleshly. Obviously, he's not talking about a fleshly rebirth, because Nicodemus immediately says, well, I'm an old man. Look at me. And it probably is a fat little Jew, you know, and he's thinking about his little bitty Jewish mother, and who's probably very old or dead. He said, can a man enter a second time? See, he's thinking about a physical birth. Into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, don't be surprised, Nicodemus, that I say to you, you must be born again. Now, we're not talking about a fleshly birth, Nicodemus. We're talking about a spiritual birth. We're talking about the Spirit borning us into the world. And verse 6 is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Obviously. Every person that's born is whoever they're born of. If you're born of a dog, you're a puppy. If you're born of a cow, you're a calf. If you're born of a horse, you're a colt. That's the way it works. That's how it is. Now, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Well, obviously, it's not talking about this. I can tell you this is not Spirit. I can tell you this is really flesh. It's real, 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 real flesh. Real, real lot of it. It's real flesh. It does all the things the flesh does. Has all the characteristics of the flesh. So when he says we're born again, He's talking about our spirit that's within us has been born again. We're waiting one day, praise God, these old bodies are going to come alive in the earth and they're going to be redeemed from the earth. We wait for what? The redemption of our bodies. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound, for the voice of the archangel, for the Lord to come from glory and bring with him the spirits of just men made perfect, and they come back with him, and what? The dead in Christ rise. They that are alive and remain are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so our bodies ultimately, and we say, Christians have said from day one, I believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in a bodily resurrection. You say a spiritual resurrection. Oh, I've already had that. I've already had a spiritual resurrection. My spirit has already been born again. Now I'm waiting for the time that my... excuse me, it's hay fever season. And all of it's heading out everywhere I look. My body is continuing on, but one day I'm going to be a complete soul, body and spirit, and stand before God without sin unto salvation. Now, when you have a birth, it doesn't happen easy, does it? I don't know if you've seen a baby born or been around where a baby was being born. I know a lot of you here have, and you've experienced it. But there's travail to a baby being born. They don't call it labor for nothing, do they? That's what I told Mimi on Labor Day when she was going to have Benji and I was trying to get their little nursery done over in Parisburg when they lived over there. And all day Labor Day, she's uncomfortable. She's having contractions. She's having pains. She's going through that. And she said, oh, you know how you say. And I said, well, that's why they call it Labor Day. And of course, every day when you have a baby is a labor day. It requires travail. The redemption of the soul of man and of his spirit required travail. And you say, well, when did that happen? It happened on Calvary's cross. There was a battle raging up there on the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross in the flesh as a man. And he wrestled in the garden till the sweat became his blood. He wrestled on the cross as he was made fun of, as he was hung in shame, all the things that went on the cross. My brothers and sisters, this man wrestled and travailed for what? Till he could say to his Father in heaven, it is finished. The battle's over. The victory's won. I've made it. It's all done. Human beings can now be saved. The travail was there. Now, you say, well, how does a person get born again? Well, pretty much the same way a baby gets born. There has to be the implanting of a seed. And you say, well, who plants the seed? And where does the seed come from? And what is the seed? Well, the Bible's very clear. The seed is the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost implants the seed within us. That's how Jesus got here. Do you realize that? Somebody said, well, he's the Son of God. Well, he certainly is the Son of God. And the Holy Ghost is God because the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed, came upon the Virgin Mary and caused her to conceive and bear a son. Now, when we study in comparative religion, the Mormon people believe that God came down in a physical body and physically had sex with the Virgin Mary. Man, that's something that ought not to be even mentioned. That's a horrible thing to think. Yet, there are millions, and there are millions of them, that faithfully believe that God has a physical body, and when Jesus was born, God came down in his physical body and implanted the seed in Mary, the Virgin, and she had a baby. I can tell you it didn't happen that way. I can tell you the Holy Ghost came and overshadowed her, and because the Holy Ghost came, He caused the seed of the Word of God to take form in her womb, and she bare the Son of God. Yes, He's the Son of God, but He is the Son of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost Himself is God the Spirit. Praise His wonderful and eternal name. Now, our spirit, born again, inherits the nature and the characteristics of the Father. All of us do. Every seed does what? Reproduces after its own kind. Did you read that in Genesis? Every tree, every plant, every animal, everything reproduces after its own kind, and it won't cross to another kind. So if the Spirit comes and implants the Word into your heart and into your life, my friend, you're going to start exhibiting the characteristics and the nature of the Spirit. It's commonly called the fruits of the Spirit. Somebody said, we ought not to judge. And if you're just being a judge to judge, you ought not to judge. But Jesus said, you shall know them how? By their fruits. By their fruits. So when He implants, when His Spirit comes, and I have to tell you something, you can't be saved. I mean, you can sit around and think salvation from now to doomsday, but you can't be saved except the Spirit of God draw you. Who said that? Jesus did. You can't be saved except the Spirit of God draw you. And if you'll look back in your life, you'll notice that it was not yourself that saved you, but the Spirit of God that came to you, spoke to your heart, knocked on your heart's door, and implanted the seed of the Word within your heart. How many of us, let me ask you this, how many of us came to Jesus the very, very first time He ever dealt with us? Hardly anyone does. Isn't God good? Isn't He a good God? Isn't He a merciful God? Isn't grace a marvelous thing? I mean, God Almighty took the time to send His Son into this world to die for us. And He comes and offers us for free. He's already done the travailing. Be nice to have a baby without the travail, wouldn't it? He's already done the travailing. He's already done the agonizing. He's already paid the price. And He comes and offers us free and clear our salvation just for believing, just for accepting it, just for taking it into ourselves. And He has to knock on our door and knock on our door. He has to do it today and tomorrow and next week. Sometimes God deals with people for years before they'll surrender. Now, God could zap them a good one. After all, He's God. He could zap them good and make them get saved. But I can tell you, God the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He will not knock the door down to your house. He will not bash the wall into your house and come in and make you get saved. He will knock on the door. Can you imagine? One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is in the Revelation. You know what it is? It's where Jesus says, I stand at the door and a knock, and if anyone will open to me, I will come in. Can you imagine the Almighty God standing at my door and knocking on my door and asking me to let Him come in? My goodness, I ought to be out with the door open, sweeping off the walk, welcoming Him like Abraham did when he saw Him coming down the road. When Abraham was sitting by the tent in the cool of the day under the shadow of the tent and he saw the Lord and the two angels coming down the road, I'm sure he didn't know quite who they were then, but what did he do? He jumped up and ran to them and invited them to come in. My friend, if Jesus ever walks by our house, we ought to be out in the road patting Him on the shoulder and glad-handing Him and telling Him to come on in and get something to eat and come on in and sit down with us. But instead, He knocks and He knocks and He knocks and He knocks and we don't let Him in. What a great God and what a merciful God He is that He keeps on knocking, that He comes back. God don't owe you the first time to knock on your door, let alone the second and third time. And yet by His grace and mercy, He will come back the second and third time and knock on your door. Now, when he comes in and your spirit is changed, you notice what happened to Zacchaeus when the Lord came into his house. Zacchaeus was a thief. He was a bad citizen. He was disloyal to his countrymen. He was a liar. He was a rogue. I can't say enough things bad about Zacchaeus, and the people in Jericho couldn't say enough bad things about him. They didn't like him for nothing. And when he was up in the sycamore tree and the Lord went under, by the way, he knows what limb you're sitting on tonight. And when the Lord went under the tree, he called him by name, never been introduced to him, but he called him by name and he said, "I want to go home and eat dinner with you." Now, Zacchaeus did not invite the Lord into his house, but the Lord invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. And when he went in the house, the Lord did not condemn Zacchaeus. There's not a word of condemnation in that. He never says, "You filthy, stupid little Jew, being disrespectful to your country and stealing off the poor and the widows, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're nothing but a low-down scoundrel." I mean, if Jesus had approached him that way, it would have run him off. But what he did, he went into his house and sat down at the table, and his grandpa would have said he took dinner with him. And when he took dinner with him, it melted Zacchaeus' heart, and he said, "Lord, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give half of everything I've got away to the poor. And then you know what I'm going to do? Everybody that I can find out that I've cheated, I'm going to give them back more than I took off of them so that they can have it." And you know what Jesus said? "This day is salvation come into this house." Hallelujah. You see, my friend, Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. And the Spirit is inviting himself into our house. Now, brothers and sisters, there's not a shred of Scripture that says you should seek after tongues or whatever like that. It said seek after what? The best gifts. But what does he say? Seek the Spirit. And my friend, you need to seek the activity of the Holy Ghost in your life. You need the Holy Ghost in your prayer life. You need him in your reading life. I heard Sister Lily say one time, and she's testifying years ago, you can pray through and you can read through. How many of you ever got victory reading the Bible? Amen. I mean, you'd be reading the Scriptures and the Spirit leads you to the right Scripture, and you get to reading in it and you get so happy. Sometimes you cry and sometimes you shout. And I've got so bad I couldn't sit and read. I have to get up and pace the floor and praise God a while and then go back and read it again. Well, you see, that's what happens when you have the new birth. When he comes to live in your heart, friends, he changes your nature. The nature of your spirit becomes a giving nature, becomes a submissive nature to God. It changes what's happening in there. And I can tell you something, if the man on the inside gets changed, I don't care how ornery this old man on the outside is, it will start changing things in the house that it lives in. Because I can tell you, this new man, Christ Jesus, that's living in you, is not going to live in your hog pen of a life. He's not going to live in you so that you can live just any way you want to. This becomes, flesh as it is, obstacle that it is, it becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. My friends, the Spirit of God is inviting himself to come into your life. Now, when birth happens, we're talking about life, aren't we? When birth happens, life starts. Now, you can't manufacture a baby. Amen? Some of you'd start a factory if you could. You can't manufacture a baby. Babies are not manufactured. Babies are implanted in a mother's womb with the seed of the father. And babies grow within the mother, and babies are born alive into the world. You can't manufacture them. No more than you can manufacture a baby, can you manufacture a Christian. We think sometimes in this day and time that we can manufacture Christians, that we can pour in so much of this and so much of that and so much of Nashville gospel music and so much of TBN and so much of something else, and all of that will come out and we'll be a Christian. I can tell you, my friend, You cannot manufacture a Christian. You have to, if a Christian is comes into being, then what? It has to be born. Now, it's not a question of could be born or should be born. The question is, it must be born. Amen? If you want to get a baby in this world, you may not be the one to have it. Somebody else may have it for you, but I guarantee you it will be born. I guarantee you if there's a baby comes into your household and into your life, somebody is going to give birth to that baby. And if a Christian, if a human being, spirit, is touched by the Holy Spirit, and he becomes a Christian, he's going to come because he has a new birth and because he's been born again. Not because he's been manufactured, not because he's been joined, not because he's been brought in, but because he's been changed. And that's what we sing sometimes. I've been changed. I'm newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made since the Lord came that day. In my heart, oh yes, I've been changed. First time I ever saw Brother Tommy Ramsey in church, that's what they were singing. Leah Woodyard was leading the singing, and they were singing, I've been changed, and I wanted to go in that meeting so bad I couldn't stand it. And you say, well, why didn't you? Because I was standing outside. Me and Herb was standing at the fence outside looking at the meeting, and we were dirty as pigs. We've been cleaning off a lot in Rock Camp to set a tent. And we came down, and Tommy and the Saints were having a meeting at the fountain where the golf course is now. And we stopped, and I remember Aunt Leela Cast was dancing in the Spirit, and Leela was leading the singing, and Tommy was leading the singing, and they were singing, I've been changed, I'm newborn now. Hallelujah. It's still good, folks. It's still good song, still good thing. I have to tell you, you won't become a Christian but by one way, and that's by birth. Your spirit, the spirit, and it's what it said, the spirit is born again. Now, I have to tell you, there's a wonderful thing about this new creature inside. There's a wonderful thing about this new person inside, this spirit that's born again. Guess what it don't have? A past. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't have a past. Somebody said, oh, I remember when she was a slut. No, you don't. You might remember when her body was, but you don't remember when she was. You say, oh, I remember when he was a drunk. You might say that, but I can tell you that new man sitting over there in that body has never been drunk. He doesn't have a drunkard's past. You don't have a liar's past. You don't have a cursing past. You don't have any past at all. When you're born again, you're brand new. A baby does not have a past. It has a future, but it doesn't have a past. And when you're born again and God rebirths your spirit within you, my friend, you don't have a past. All things have passed away, the scripture said. Hallelujah. Bless God and all things are new. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Give God glory. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. No sin. No sin. This new creature has never sinned. This old man has, but this new creature inside of me never sinned. He has no past, but he has a future. He's going someplace. And one day he's going to get a new house in the resurrection. He's going to get a new house because not only is my spirit going to be redeemed, but my flesh is going to be redeemed. And Daniel said the dust is going to sing. It's going to come out of the ground singing and rejoicing and praising God. Now, I have to tell you, Nicodemus couldn't see that he, being a Jew, needed to be born again. But I can tell you, even Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord. And if anybody was ever close to God, she certainly was, wasn't she? I don't know anybody any closer to God than she was, carrying the Lord in her womb. But I can tell you, when it came down to her as a person, she needed to be there on the day of Pentecost, and she needed to be filled with the Spirit just like James and John and Peter and all the rest of them. Mary Magdalene had a wonderful experience with God, having the demons cast out of her when Jesus was here. But she needed to be there on the day of Pentecost to be filled with the Spirit. You need a new birth to get rid of your past. Well, not get rid of it. The old man dies, so it's not there anymore. The new man that's born within you never has sinned, and the new man, Christ Jesus, never will sin. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And you know what he said? He said to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus could have picked up on this because he's a scholar. You know what he said? He said, everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Now you say, well, what's the wind like? Well, we say some weird things about the wind. We say some really weird things about the wind. We'll say, look at the wind. What did it look like? Put your finger on it. Bottle it up. Show me what the wind looked like. You know what you saw? You saw the effects of the wind. You saw where the wind was going. You saw where the wind has been. You heard what the wind is doing. You can hear it howl in March. Sometimes other times of the year. You could talk about the wind and have a reference to the wind, but you've never seen the wind. But do you believe the wind is real? Absolutely you believe the wind is real. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You can't put your finger on somebody that's born of the Spirit. You can't bottle them up. You can't analyze them. You can't do anything with it. If you're born of the Spirit, my friend, you're like the wind. Now, Nicodemus' mind had to have gone back to Ezekiel chapter 37. And you know what happened in Ezekiel 37? Ezekiel went out, and young fella, and the Lord said, I'm going to give you a place to preach. So Ezekiel went out. He said, where do you want me to preach, Lord? He said, I want you to preach right here. And what did he have? He had a valley of dry bones. Everywhere he looked, there was just bones. All kinds of bones. Leg bones and head bones and arm bones and elbows and knees and toes and fingers. All kinds of bones. But they weren't together. They were just scattered everywhere. So he said, preach to them and prophesy to them. So he did, and the bones came together. We sing about that. The knee bone was connected to the thigh bone, you know. And so they came, but they were just dead skeletons. They were all together, but they were dead skeletons. So he said, prophesy to them. So he prophesied to them, and it started growing muscle. And sinews started growing on it, and skin started growing over it. But he looked at them, and they're just laying there. And they're just dead bodies. There's nothing but dead bodies laying all over that valley. What's the purpose? And he said to him, said, Ezekiel, can these live? And he said, I don't know. You know, Lord, but I don't know. He said, can these live? And he kept saying, I don't know. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. And the wind came blowing. That's just the breath of God. That's the Spirit. And the wind came blowing, and the wind blew into the bodies, and the men stood up and became a mighty army and marched out of the valley and became a great nation. Now, he's talking about the Jewish nation, but Ezekiel saw this, and Nicodemus, being a scholar, had to have known that. And I have to tell you, you look at some drunk down in the gutter, look at some prostitute in a house of ill repute, look at some drug head in a pot house, my friend, and you say, can these live? Yes. Prophesy to them. Prophesy to them. And let the wind blow. And let the wind come. And let the wind fill them. And let the wind of this Holy Ghost come into their hearts and into their lives and change who they are and make new creatures out of them in Christ Jesus. And their spirit will be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of the things of God. And I have to tell you, my friend, it's not an option. If you're going to heaven, you must. We said it before, say it with me again. You must be born again. You can't go to heaven the way you were born in this world. If you've just been born of the watery birth of human nature, everybody in the world that'll be in hell was born the same way. But if you're going to heaven, you must have a new birth of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit must come in and change you. And like the wind, you can't explain it. You remember a Pentecostal chorus a few years ago? I can't explain it, but I know it's so, I've got it. Remember that song? Some speak in an unknown tongue while others dance in the holy dance, but I've got it. And I can't explain it, but I know it's so. How many times I've heard the hymn writer say, I can't explain it. And I can't explain it. I can't see it. My birth did not appear. It's some way you could see. The day I got saved, I was on the back seat of the church. And I got up and walked the aisle and came forward and gave my heart to Jesus and asked for salvation. But nobody could see anything happened. But I knew it had happened. I knew what had happened inside of me. You know what's funny about that? A woman came to me in the Spirit. A woman came to me in the Spirit. She walked down the aisle and she took my hands and she, in the Holy Ghost, gave me a message and it struck my heart and I believed it. And I held her hand and walked up the aisle weeping and crying and went to the altar and she went on with whatever the Spirit was doing with her. And a while back I talked to her on the telephone about it and she don't remember anything about it. Did you know that? She don't. It was Anna Cecil Justice. She does not remember anything about coming to me in the Spirit that day. She does not remember anything about taking hold of my hands and giving me a message and asking me to come up. That's okay. The Spirit was using her. And when it was over, she went home to her family and went on. But when I went home, she couldn't see it. And she couldn't explain it. And no one else could. And the kids in the community and my fellows that I ran around with, the boys, they couldn't explain it. But Glenn, something had changed in me. I was a new creature. There was a new person living inside of me. And when I came back to church the next time, I came back with a Bible. Had to borrow one of Mother's. And sat on the bench at the front. And endeavored to testify when they asked me to. Praise the Lord for being here tonight. What He's done for me, y'all pray for me. Y'all heard those testimonies? Hey, if they're sincere, they're wonderful. If they're sincere, they're wonderful. God saved my soul. He had been dealing with me and travailing with me and working with me for ever so long. And I was stubborn. I wouldn't give in. I wouldn't surrender. But there was something about the Spirit that day when she took my hands and said, Eddie, you're going to need God someday. And you need to come to God right now. She was in a trance. She really didn't know what she was saying or who she was saying it to. But she took my hand and gently tugged, and I got up with her and walked up the aisle. Praise God I didn't stub up and stay back. Praise God I got up and went to the altar. And God listened to my voice. Granny Effie nearly scared me to death when she came around and patted me on the shoulder and said, pray right through, honey, pray right through. You're going to be my little holy roller preacher, boy. That was the whole reason I hadn't come, because I didn't want to surrender to the ministry. And she didn't know that, but the Spirit through her did know that. And so I was caught. Praise God. I can't explain it. I can't see it. I can't analyze it. I can't put it in the test tube. And you can't either. And you know what? I watch people change. I watch God change people's lives. And you know, sometimes I'll be the one to preach it when it happens, but I don't really have anything to do with it, do I? I can't change anyone. I can tell the story of Jesus. I can put out the good word of God. But my friend, if there's anybody saved, it'll be the Spirit of God that does it. It won't be me. I never died on the cross, and I never rose again, and I'm not powerful. I'm just a country preacher. But praise God, He saved me. He changed me. He made me a man of God. And I praise God. And the same with you, my friends. God dealt with your soul. God touched your hearts. God made you the person you should be. It's not an option. You must be born again. Father, I thank you tonight for being able to share the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that when no one else cared, you cared. Lord, I thank you that when no one else paid attention, you paid attention. And Lord, I thank you that when you saw my soul was perishing and Satan was after my young life, you came to me and brought me out of the darkness into the light. And I thank you, Father, that you came into my heart and changed my spirit. I thank you, Father, that we're born of the Spirit. Father, and I thank you that today's coming, that my flesh itself will be redeemed from the earth. And Lord, that as a human soul, a completed soul, standing before God, body, spirit, and soul, a living soul. Oh, Lord, you've been so good. Thank you for sending the gospel into this hollow. Thank you for sending those first people in that came with the Spirit and came with the message of salvation and saved our grandparents and saved our parents. Father, I thank you for Effie Gilmer walking all the way from Pembroke down here to preach. I thank you, Father, for Brother Cecil coming and providing gasoline in a car for them to get back and forth in after they'd walked several days. Lord, I thank you for the experience my grandmother had and other old people had that brought the gospel down to us. Lord, I thank you for all those people that used to walk down here from Big Stony Creek and seek the face of God. Oh, Father, we have so many things to thank you for. And Lord, I thank you that the Spirit of God has continued to deal with us and to draw our hearts and souls. Heavenly Father, we ask it in Jesus' name that you'll touch hearts and touch souls. And Father, that we'll be hungry and we'll seek, Father, for the Spirit. We'll seek for the Spirit to move in our lives and seek for the Spirit to move in our hearts. Heavenly Father, these favors and blessings and mercies we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen. Praise God. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right, let's stand, folks. We're going to sing Someone to Care. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there's someone to care for you. Aren't you glad this is a true song? Amen. How many of you ever found the world be cold? Oh, I'll tell you, it can be. Let's sing. If you need to pray, there are prayer benches here to pray at. And if you want us to pray with you, we'll do that too. Amen. Let's sing it together like we mean it. What you just saw was a precious thing that God did. We praise God so much for sending the Spirit. Sister Alice wasn't able to come this morning, wasn't able to get up out of her wheelchair a while ago, but she danced in the Spirit all the way around the church. And I praise God for that. And you say, would God do that? Yes, He would, because He's the one who cares. And that means so much to her, the Spirit does. And we praise God for that. It's also grandchildren and great-grandchildren here that's never saw her dance in the Spirit in church that saw her dance tonight in the Spirit, and I praise God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God a hand. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. This has been a good service. Been a good day. Praise God. And we go before God with thanksgiving and in His courts with praise. Let's dismiss the old-fashioned way. And Brother Mooney would say, if all minds are clear to do so, let's look to the Lord and be dismissed. Father, we thank You for being here tonight. Thank You for Your great blessings, Your wondrous mercies, and Your marvelous truths. Thank You for sending the Holy Ghost to speak to our hearts, to move in our midst. And Father, help us to recognize that we must be born again. We ask these favors and blessings in Jesus' precious name, amen.